Okay, so we're continuing in the Ma'amarei Yemei Ratzon by Rav Volbi. And if you recall, the topic is a focus on Ruchniut and Chomriut, and trying to understand how we can handle both of them in a world where we really, really don't feel Ruchniut, but we feel Chomriut very much, Gashmiut very much. So he quoted in the last piece, he quoted Rabbeinu Yonah, where Rabbeinu Yonah explained the idea of libo lamala, that when a person davens, he has to have libo lamata, ve'inav lamata. Libo lamala, ve'inav lamata. His heart has to be upwards and his eyes downwards. And he says the reason is that you want to be mevatel before you enter into tefillah. You want to be mevatel kol tanugei ha'olam v'hana'ot haguf. All these tanugei ha'olam and ha'ot haguf. And Revolvi wants to know, why does he have two different terms for the same thing? It seems to be the same thing. Chomriut. Tanugei ha'olam is chomriut. Hanot haguf, chomriut. The pleasures of the world and, I don't know, the pleasures of the body. Like, what's the difference between these two things? So he wants to focus in this essay on these two topics and try to figure out what each one means. So he quotes this well-known pasuk, Yishamu lachem peniftel abavchem v'sartem min haderech. This is from the Shema. And Rashi writes, v'sartem lifrosh min haTorah, u'mitoch kach v'avaretem lehim lacherim. That the concern is that if we leave the derech haTorah, we're going to serve other gods. Okay? Rashi seems to be assuming, he says that when a person leaves Torah and Mitzvot, when a person leaves Hashem, so he immediately attaches himself to Avodah Zarah. This is a little bit strange. Like, why can't you be in between? You could leave Torah and then just not do anything. Why do you have to, why is it assumed that you're going to automatically attach to Avodah Zarah? So over here, Rav Volbi says we need to expand our vision of what Avodah Zarah is. Avodah Zarah is. So it's over here, Yitzra d'Avodah Zarah hitbatel. The truth is that in our days, as we discussed last time, I think, in our days, the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah per se, like pure idolatry, has for the most part been nullified. Aval, inyan zeh lo nitbatel. But the idea of it hasn't gone away. What is the idea of Avodah Zarah? Shemashvim ledavar midivrei ha'olam erech muchlat. That we give absolute value to something in the world. So, for example, yadua sheyeshnam harbe bnei adam shebishvilam ha'kesef hu erech elyon b'chayehem. Vim ki einam osim pesel midolar ve'einam sogrim lo b'pulchan. Like we see, the most obvious and the most classic stand-in for Avodah Zarah in our days is the almighty dollar, right? Money, the shekel. It says, you know, we're not going to call it Avodah Zarah per se. We don't worship it. We don't put it on a mantle for the most part and bow down to it. However, we have given it, many people give it, absolute value in their lives so that it rules their life.
You know, when I was a kid, I would watch baseball on TV. I would watch the Yankees, and my father, Oliver Shalom, used to say the Yankees are the Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, yeah. There was, this is the most bullet. There was a video after the Giants won the Super Bowl. I think the first time Eli Manning won the Super Bowl, it might have been the second time. I don't remember, but YouTube was already around, so somebody made a YouTube video of them passing around the Lombardi trophy, which is the trophy that you get when you win the championship. They're passing it around and each person gets to hold it for a second and to give it a kiss. And they put it to the music, to the singing of Vayehi Bintzoa Aaron. So that, you know, you get the impression, like, you know, they're basically treating this thing like an idol. That's what they're treating it like. So, but here he's saying, what's going on is that when a person puts money at the center of his life, it rules his life in the same way that an Avodah Zarah can rule your life. He says, the irony is there's nothing in the world that can't become this. He says, mimoledet v'ad bul mishumash, a used stamp. Lo mizman, shilmu ba'ad bul mishumash, echad milyonei dollarin. He's claiming, he said, he just heard about a case where somebody spent $1 million on a stamp. It can be of high value. We can ascribe value to all kinds of things in the world. Zoi tchunat olam hazeh. Metziut achol b'shurishut harabim kazeh shebekol makom shenogim bo yicholim lehotzi davar mimitzkato We can take anything in the world and we can transform it into a central value in our system. Okay? He says that's one of the features of Olam Hazeh and the way that Olam Hazeh works. He says, Lo ken Olam Hashal Torah Kedosha. And this is very interesting. I'm still struggling with what exactly he means by this. Take a look at what he says. In Torah, it's an Olam Ruchani. Shekulo Meuchad, Kol Devar Mishamesh Bin Komo L'Tachlito. Says, in the world of Torah, everything is unified and integrated. And because of that, each element in the world of Torah fulfills its role and doesn't expand beyond that role. Kulam notnim reshut zeh lazeh lakdish leotzram. That's the Malachim, but the idea is, he's saying that each element in Torah and in spirituality makes space for everything else. It doesn't try to take over more than its own territory. And everything bows, of course, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the only Erech Mukhlat. He's the only absolute value. And when you study Torah and when you live and breathe Torah, so you gain that ability to put everything in its place. A person who is surrounding himself in Torah, so he knows the value of everything in Torah and also the value of everything in the real world. He's able to ascribe money its proper value. He's able to ascribe pleasure its proper value. He's able to ascribe involvement in science, etc., a proper value, and nothing takes over. Nothing can take over. I'll tell you one thing it reminds me of. Have you guys seen Shtisel yet? I say yet because you have to see it. Shtisel is a TV show, an Israeli TV show about this Haredi family living in Mea Shearim, named Shtisel. The main characters are Shlomo Shtisel, I think it's Shlomo. He's a principal in some cheder. And Akiva Shtisel, who's a son who he was teaching in the cheder, but he's essentially an artist. He's kind of the black sheep. He's kind of out there. He's Haredi, but he feels this pull to the outside world. And there's a plot line where he's basically going out with a girl. They're trying to complete the shidduch. And the girl really likes him, really, really cares about him. And she's afraid that his art is going to take over his world. And so she wants to make him swear to not be involved in art anymore. And he wants to know why she wants this. And she tells a story. She says that her father loved classical music. I forget exactly which classical music she loved. I want to say Wagner, but I'm not sure if that's what it was, because I know the politics there. Whatever it was, I think it was Bach maybe, I don't know. There was some song that he loved. He used to listen to it over and over and over. And then she said one day he got up and he dubbed over the tape, basically destroying the tape. And she asked him why he did it. And he said because he felt like it was taking over his life. He felt like he was addicted to it, essentially, that it was becoming so important to him. He didn't want anything in the world to be so important to him. It was this painful thing to watch, really, because she was basically saying, you can't care about things too much. But in a way, that's what Rav Olbia is saying. He's saying a person has to be able to ascribe the proper amount of weight to all the things in his life. And you can't give anything too much weight, right? If you love sports too much, you can't give it too much love. If you love music too much, you can't give it too much love. If you love reading too much, you can't give it too much love, because everything needs to have its proper weight. Some things get more weight than others, but we need to find the right balance and not let things get out of hand.
It's never good for you.
Uri, I couldn't hear you. What did you say?
Addiction is never good.
Addiction is never good, but even beyond addiction, obsession, right? If somebody loves sports, we don't say they're addicted. We say they're obsessed, right? But even that is too much. Person has to give the proper weight. He says, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Alexandri, Kol ha'osek b'tarah lishma meisim shalom b'pamalia shamala u'b'pamalia shamata. Shneimar o yichazek b'ma'ozei yaseh shalom li shalom yaseh li. So somebody who learns Torah lishma is able to make peace, okay, above and below. So what does that mean? He says, Zeu kocha shel Torah lahami kol davar al makomo leval yasig gvulo shel koach acher. That's the peace we're talking about over here. That it doesn't do hasagat gvul. It doesn't encroach upon the territory of anything else.
So
And he says that's specifically for somebody who's osek b'Torah lishma. He says you have to be learning lishma. It's not even good enough to just learn Torah. A person could learn Torah, but he doesn't achieve this level of knowing how to make shalom between all the aspects of his life. Person can learn Torah, but he hasn't yet left the Rishut HaRabim of the Olam HaGashmi. He hasn't left, basically, I don't know, it might mean popular culture over here. A person could still be ensconced in popular culture. We all know this is true. He's right. You know, a person can still be involved in the Hevlei HaOlam. This is the, you know, for many people, that's the life they choose. And we just have to at least face up to it. We can't lie to ourselves. But a person who's mamash, learning Torah Lishma all the time, he just doesn't care about anything else. He doesn't care. Even if he does care, he's able to control himself and give it the proper value and only use it when it's useful. Now he calls this, all this that we've been talking about, he calls this Tanuge Olam. He continues, he says, Bnei Adam, now what's the problem with all of this? He says, what's the problem with all this? So it itself might be a problem, but he says it can get even worse. Bnei Adam melei tasbichim, yesh rofei atzabim, shematzu ki kol tasbich nolad al yidei sha'adam, asa koach echad o tava echad la'alil chayav. Says, psychologists have said that many times they treat people who have what we call neuroses, which is basically when a person ascribes too much weight to almost anything, and they turn something in their life into an idol. V'koach elil zeh sholet v'kirbo u'mushabed lo kol yeter kochotav. It takes up all of their energy. And the rest of the person's life, from a psychological perspective, becomes depressed and strangled. He's choking. The person's not able to be happy because they don't have a proper balance, because they're too obsessed with something. Their family life suffers. Their marital life suffers. Their work suffers because they're so wrapped up in something. And we're not even talking about drugs necessarily or any physical addictions, but anything. Until he pops that balloon in his heart, he can't get out of it. Even the doctors know that this is true. He says, these are the things that come up in the world, right? These aren't physical desires that we're talking about. Again, this is not physical addictions that we're talking about. We're not talking about an addiction to drugs or addiction to eating or an addiction to drinking or anything like that. We're talking about psychological obsessions that people come up with that seem very benign at first, you know? But when they become such a powerful force in a person's life, then it really takes over. And he's saying
Is he considering these akin to love to Avodah Zarah? Is that what he's saying?
Obviously, it's not a violation of the Isur of Lo Tesel Lecha Pesel. But he's saying that the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah is typified by the tendency to put something at the center of your life that really takes over and controls you. And this is the same tendency that we're talking about over here. So it's not an avera per se. You never violate, but it's the same. It's the way that we can understand in our days how the yetzer hara of avodah zarah manifests itself in the tanuge olam. Okay, but then we have hanaot aguf. Okay, now this is something totally different. Adayin yeshnu mador miyuchad shel hanaot aguf milvad tchunat haolam lehamtzi hanaot sheadam notel ve'oseh otan le'erech elyon. Ha, here we go. Forget about the outside world, the person himself. Where is this in the Torah? Yeah, this was in this week's parsha. This was is it Nitzavim or Vayelech? I believe this is a Nitzavim. Rashi says, what does this mean? So what happens? A person blesses his own heart and says, what happens is that, yeah, this is after the all the klalot of Kitavo. So a person will bless his heart and say, all those things will happen to everybody else. But shalom yihyeli, but I'm going to be okay. Because I'm going to follow my heart. I'll do whatever I want, and I will slake my thirst. I'll satisfy my urges. Rashi explains, what's shrirut lev? Shrirut lev b'mar'it libi eilech. Kamo asherenu v'lo akarov. Klamar, ma shelibo ro'eh la'asot. I'm going to follow whatever my heart sees and wants. I'm going to do that. He says, this is what everybody says. The Rabban says, hata'ava goveret ma'mitchazeket b'lev tikra shrirut. The temptation, the feeling of desire that a person feels in his heart, which becomes stronger, that's called shrirut. V'lashon chachamim, shrir v'kayam v'chein b'shrirei bitno. The strength, okay? And this is what everybody says. Now, why is he bringing this up? So he says, baruhu ki shrirut lev hu ahipuch shel hamaskil. We talked about a maskil. We talked about a person who is intelligent, who has balance in his life, and who is mistakel lemala. This is what we talked about last time. A person who is able to look upwards. Okay? A person who is able to look upwards and realize that there's a God, that there's something beyond this Gashmi world. Ha mistakel lemala ro'e me'al gavav koch gavoha ve'ilav hu poneh ve'itom mitchashev. When he wonders, what should I do? He wonders, what does Hashem want me to do? But ha'olech b'shriut libo, chayrakim chozeg libo marit libo, v'yelech shavav b'derech libo. But the person who's just looking at his own heart, he does whatever he wants. He doesn't look up at all. He doesn't even recognize that there's anything above him. Now here's something really scary. Okay? I didn't remember reading this Ramban. I've learned Ramban cover to cover, and I forgot that he said this, but it's critical. Lo day bazen itbonen abe mashav Torah mosifan leman tzvot harava tatzme'ah. There's a typo over here. It says ruach, but it's rava. Svot rava tatzmeya. What does that mean? So Ramban says, leman svot rava tatzmeya lohosif hasba'a im amitave. To have satiation with desire. What does that mean? Ki nefesh sveya tikra rava. Amitave tikra tzmeya. A person who is satisfied with sveya, that's called raveh. And a person who is desirous, that's called smeah. But the words here say, leman svot harava et hatsmeah. What does that mean? Hatam ki nefesh ha'adam harava, shein enu mit'ave ladvarim haraim la, kasher tavo b'libo ktsat ha'tava, v'hu yimale ta'avato, az yosif b'nafsho ta'ava yiteira, a person can feel full. He doesn't even feel like he needs anything. But then he gets a little bit more ta'ava and he indulges himself. And then what happens? He becomes more thirsty for it. He was already full. Then he gets a little bit more of a taste and all of a sudden he becomes thirsty again. He makes himself thirsty. He's full. He's fine. He doesn't need anything. But then he makes himself thirsty by getting a little bit of a taste. And here's where it gets scary. Yit'ave od advarim ra'im shelo hayta mit'ave lahem mitchila. He gets so thirsty that he becomes desirous of things that he didn't even want when he was hungry, when he was originally thirsty. This is a person who's already satisfied. And even when he wasn't satisfied, there were certain things that he wanted, and there were certain things that he said, that's okay, I don't need that. But now that he's already satisfied, but he gets another taste, he wants even worse things. For example, this is mind-blowing, especially because, as I'm going to show you, modern psychology has caught up with this. Ki amitave lezimat anashim hayafot. Kshiyeh shatuf bezimatan. A person who's desirous of beautiful women, right? When he gets involved in those tavot, he starts to have desires that are even out of his normal comfort zone. This is the Ramban, okay? In 11th century. Ukinyan, she is Kiru Chacham, 12th century. She is Kiru Chachamim, Masbio Ra'ev Maribo Savea. Chachamim said, I don't know if this is how everybody reads this line, but the Chachamim said that you have an Ever Katan, okay, a small limb, that when you when it's hungry, it's easy to satisfy, but when it's satisfied, the more you give it, the hungrier it becomes, the more it needs. Okay? Means that the person who is satisfied makes himself thirsty. That's what's happening. The person is running after ta'avot that he doesn't even have. He's running over after more ta'avot. So now there's two things I wanted to say about this. Number one is what I mentioned before, that modern psychology has caught up with this. In in his first book, Dan Ariely, the book's called Predictably Irrational, he describes an amazing study that he conducted on a college campus. And I know this is being recorded, but it's so important. It's an amazing study that he conducted on a college campus that basically they wanted to test the effects of arousal. There are all kinds of arousal in a human being. It could be anger, it could be jealousy, or it could be sexual. So in this case, it was a college campus. So you can guess what he decided made the most sense. So what did they do? So I'll give you just the broad strokes. Basically, they gave out a survey to the students, asking them things that they'd be willing to do in the sexual realm. What would you be willing to do? All right, with a woman, with different women, with multiple, whatever, ugly, pretty. What about with males? What about with animals? Okay, that's what they gave out the survey. And they asked them to fill out the survey with honest answers. Okay. Then they did the other half. A week later, they gave the students laptops preloaded with material for them to watch, and ask the students to watch them, to become aroused, and then take the survey again. Take the survey again and answer the questions in a state of arousal. Students took the survey again. What do you think happened?
The answers are slightly different.
To an amazing degree. When asked, you know, I guess you'd say, cold-blooded, right? You know, with no arousal, most students answered all the questions in an extremely average way. Deviant behavior was not normal, right? They asked mostly heterosexual, so they got heterosexual answers. Normal answers, what you would expect. But in the state of arousal, students admitted that they'd be willing to do all kinds of things. All kinds of things that they definitely didn't write before. Now, how do you explain this? The answer is that there's a complicated to explain it. It means that we are all on a spectrum of some kind, but that's a different discussion. But this is exactly what the Ramban was talking about, saying when a person achieves a state of arousal, and again, it doesn't matter what kind of arousal, they lose control of themselves. Let's take it over to the level of anger, okay? Very simple. Person takes a survey. Would you be willing to punch somebody in the face? Would you be willing to break a window? Would you be willing to, I don't know, to... push someone. Most people will take the survey and say, what? No, of course not. Why would I ever do that? But then get them angry. And what happens? They're willing to do all kinds of things that they would never normally do. We human beings, once we become in a state of arousal of any kind, once ta'ava takes over, we're willing to do all kinds of things. That's exactly what this Ramban is talking about. A very disturbing idea, but it's extremely important that we realize that this is true. That the things that we couldn't fathom ourselves getting involved in, it really wouldn't take much for us to cross lines that we didn't imagine ever crossing. That's the truth. And so it becomes all the more important to be aware of that and to protect ourselves from those kinds of situations instead of just assuming that we'd have the koach to withstand those temptations in those situations. The other point that I wanted to make, I guess in a more low-key area, is Rabbi Salvechik has an essay where he talks about how the modern world is all about inventing desires. And we know this. For the last 30 years, we've been seeing it, you know, I'm losing my English at this hour. We've seen it turbocharged, right? Because every year a new gadget comes out. Every year a new technology comes out. Every year a new streaming service comes out that says, you need this, you need this. This, your life is not complete without this. A new food, a new drink, a new piece of clothing, a new phone, a new watch. And then once it comes out, you need it. How can you live without it? Can anybody here imagine living without a phone anymore? These things are less than 20 years old. I remember a world without them.
I actually do go out without a phone these days quite a lot.
You do? Well, yeah, because you don't want to be GPS'd. That's the reason you can go out without a phone now, because you don't want to go into Bidud if they catch you.
Exactly. Well, then your credit card or whatever.
Yeah, but for most people, the only day we go out without them is on Shabbos. But can you imagine, you go out without your phone on a regular day and you feel it immediately. Your mashmesh bekiso, you'd notice within 5 minutes that you didn't have your phone. I remember a world without these things. Right?
Yeah, but you don't want to go without a cell phone. Or take a cell phone with you, then the police will catch you there.
What did we do 20 years ago? David, you remember what the world was 20, 30 years ago. We didn't have cell phones and we were fine. We were fine for several thousand
years. And you had no faxes, and you had no faxes, and you had no... I remember coming to Israel in 1980.
We were okay without those two. We're inventing more and more and more tavot, more and more needs. That's what we're inventing.
Rabbi, I remember coming to Israel in 1984. The post office buzzed you and said, you have a telegram from so-and-so wishing you a happy birthday.
See, that's all we need. All we need is telegrams. That's all we need. We should go back to a world of telegrams. Now telegram is an app. Okay? Harayat, very much.
Yes, I know.
He says, look at this. Things are crazy. That's exactly what he says over here. We make up new ta'avot. That's what we do. He says, this is the Hanot HaGuf that Rabbeinu Yonah was talking about. We talked about the Tanugi Olam. Now we're talking about the Hanot HaGuf. Shehadam yatsar la'atzmo. Mibli shetanugi Olam hisitu eilein. This is not things that during the natural course of human existence we would have come to. No, we are making these things up. And we make them up, even not the technologies and things like that. These are things that we impose upon ourselves, that by getting involved in certain ta'avot, we increase those ta'avot and we give them reign over our lives. Now he takes an interesting twist over here, and he says, "Hu asher matzinu b'mekomot rabim shatorah mazira al kashut oref." He connects this to kashut oref, to stubbornness. Now, why does he connect it to that? So he says, "Well, take a look at this. When Bnei Yisrael made the egel, what did Hashem complain about to Moshe Rabbeinu? Ra'iti ata'am v'hinei am k'she orefu." They're an Am K'shei Oref. This is his response. This is God's response to the Chet Egel. So the Revolbi says, what does that have to do with anything? They just made an Egel. They violated an Isur in the Torah. They got involved in a Avodah Zarah of some kind. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roeh Eikar Chet Am B'midah. He said, they're stubborn? What does that have to do with anything? So he says, Kashut Oref Ba Misod Shrirut Alev Lo Lihistakel Lamala Ela Lalechet B'chozek Alev. Kashet Aref has to do with the unwillingness to look above you, to just be tunnel visioned, right? Kashet Aref, what does Kashet Aref literally mean?
Stiff neck.
A stiff neck, and what does a stiff neck cause you to do?
You can't look behind you, just keeps looking straight.
You can't look behind you, you can't look to the side, you can't look backwards, and where else can't you look?
Up or down.
You can't look up.
And you can't look down either.
You can't look up. You can't look up. That means that's what it means when he says histakel lamala. You have to be able to histakel lamala to know there's something above you. But they can't. They're looking straight. They can't see anything out of outside of their field of vision and what they want. And so Hashem said that was the cause of the Chet HaEgel. So, it says, Ma Rabba, Efo Avodatenu, Listakel Lemala, Hefech Shurut Alev, Our Avoda is to look up, to try to get out of this mode of Shurut Alev, L'Shabed Libenu L'Shamayim, Hefech Kashut Arpenu, to get rid of that stubbornness, to get rid of that myopic tunnel vision that we have. And let's try to give the proper balance to all things. You know, put each thing, give it its weight, and put the Torah at the center of our lives and Hashem at the center of lives instead of all other things. That's the mamar that we just went through. All right, I think 40 minutes is a good place to stop. Shkoyach, everybody.
Shkoyach, Rabbi.
Shkoyach to you. Thank you very much.